To order. Excuse me. All right, we're going to go ahead and approve the minutes. Did everybody get a chance to read them?
Yes.
Yes.
And who would like to make a motion to approve?
Motion.
To approve the minutes?
Yes.
Anyone second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye?
Aye.
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 Cool. And we have appearance of interested citizens today.
Thanks. Well, actually, he is on the agenda.
He is?
He's the first one on there, so.
Well, we might as well just move him right on along.
Right.
Perfect. Hello, come on down and introduce yourself.
This may be a big disappointment that you've had tonight.
I doubt it, sir.
I'm going to come to just watch you. And I guess I can do that, too.
Chair, who's the chairperson?
Me.
May I?
You may.
May I be recognized?
You may be.
I'm a people.
People.
For those of you that don't know, the gentleman we're about to hear from is literally a legend in this town. Historically, he's the guy to go to. And if you've never seen his presentation of Mr. Kaiser, I guess I'm pronouncing it wrong or whatever, he puts on his hat and he does the old historical thing. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
He's done some extensive writing, has several books, and not only am I a fan, he's my friend, but I'll tell you what.
Big fan.
Just letting you know that this guy's very special in our community, and he's a treasure, Kaiser treasure. I hate to put you on the spot, but it's true.
Thank you.
You haven't had a chance.
You make me sound very old.
Well, of course, because Jerry McGee, also known as Thomas Dove Kaiser,
right?
For those who don't know, he plays Mr. Kaiser. So
Jim Taylor.
We welcome you this evening.
Thank you. I would like to hear the introductions of the committee now, because you're the only one I think that I really know.
Well, woo-hoo.
And that really dates me, because at one time I would have known all of you ladies, but I don't think that Rhonda Eichen, and tell me a little bit about yourself, Rhonda, what brings you to the KPEC committee?
My cousin Chris was involved with it, Christine Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and she was telling me about it, and it's something I find interesting. I've been in Kaiser. I lived in Kaiser most of my life, moved over to Salem, then came back to Kaiser.
They always do. Good move. Always come back.
Yes, and I ride a bike because I can't drive. I have seizures, and I've gotten to know so many people in Kaiser that I just didn't realize. And meeting people on my bike rides with their dogs or riding, going here and there. And I've really enjoyed it. And I was talking to Chris about it. Then she was coming to the meetings. And
I'm very pleased to meet you.
Nice.
And you are Carla?
Schultheis.
Say again for me?
Schultheis.
Schultheis.
Yes, sir.
And how do you get on such an illustrious committee?
Well, I'm actually a new resident of Kaiser. Moved here in August 2016 from San Jose, California. Bought a home here and happened to reside across the street from our city council president, Marlene
Parsons.
Thank you. And her and the mayor found it to be necessary for me to volunteer.
Well,
they'll
I
do
can
that.
Tell you, there's no better way of getting acquainted with a new community than a committee such as this.
Absolutely.
Because this is a great way. In fact, Anita, that's why she joined, another member of years gone by, to get acquainted with a new community to
oh,
her.
Oh, absolutely.
To some of us, it's an old community, and that's fine. But anybody coming in brand new, this is should be a great introduction. Glad to have you on board, really.
Thank you.
And Leslie?
Hey, it's Lizelle.
All right.
Yeah. So I
I moved to Kaiser fairly recently too. I've lived here for about 2 years, but my fiance, he was raised here in Kaiser, Oregon, and he lived here all his life. We met in the Bay Area in California, and I moved up here, and we now we're living here and hope to live here for a very long time. And so I joined the I want to volunteer mm-hmm. with Kaiser and get to know the community more, because after living here for some time, I grew to love the area and really appreciate the people around here. So I want to give back a little bit.
That's good. Yeah. Now, as you ladies know by this time, that you've not selected an easy committee. This is quite different, unless it's changed a lot, because you have homework to do. You have assignments you have to do. And so many of the committees, and they're all worthy committees, but they'll come and they'll spend their hour, and that resolves all their obligations until the next month's meeting. But that won't be the case in your case. You have various research projects you have to run down and rule out, as well as rule some of them in. So it's a different workload. But if you're into history type of thing, you'll really enjoy this, because there's lots of opportunities. And as I'm sure, Sherry, in looking at this list, is remarkable, the things you're involved with. But look for your own spot. As you look around, there'll be a niche that is of a historical value that we're about to lose, perhaps. Hang on to that one. And put the bite on your chairman, add it to the list, and away you go with another project. And more homework, and more research. I don't know what you wanted me to say. You wanted someplace here. lesser markers at corners of significant land claims. Jerry
yes.
McGee and Jill Hill. Well, Jill was going to start it. Jill? Jill has been a great contributor. I first met her when we had the unveiling of the Thomas Dove Kaiser statue. Mm-hmm. She'd been on the committee about a week. Mm-hmm. And so I was chairman of at that time, and I didn't know how to use her really. So we wanted to keep a book, a log of everybody attended. And that's been remarkable. So that would be, and Jill came dressed in it. Do you remember? In a Conestoga mm-hmm. wagon type of dress, and she was really fit to kill, and she played the part just tremendously.
It was a
Incidentally,
funny event.
Incidentally, we had 143 Kaiser descendants here for that unveiling.
We did.
And the picture you gave me, mm-hmm. Sherry, of all the people
on the stairwells.
Yes. I'm going to donate that, if you don't mind, to the museum.
I would love you to. Thank you.
Now, if you ever see, Tammy Wild's book?
Uh-huh.
That picture is in that book.
Yay!
And it's just a little thing like that. Well, I'm going to give them the original for them to have over there.
Good.
Well, let's
Thank
talk.
You.
Let's talk about, now the Homework week is over. Let's talk about some of the significant landmarks. And I think she was referring, when she talked to me on the phone, of donation landmarks. Mm-hmm. The most significant one is here in front of Sherry's.
Right.
And I hope you all take the time you'll have to get out of your car to walk by. The printing, it was small intentionally, so that people could not read it from their cars, which we thought would be a hazardous situation. They'd be halfway through and the light would turn and one thing or another. So you have to get out of your car, unlike the marker down at the 45th parallel.
Right.
There the words are big and you can read from your car. But so if you ever wonder why didn't they make this wording bigger? Read that and you see why that's the most significant one. That's the first donation land claim in the Oregon Territory. The first, number one. There's no second, there's no one ahead of it. And the actual point is under the stoplight right in the middle of the street. Well, the city had some problem with us putting something in the middle of the street. So we put it as near as we could, and Sherry's cooperated with us and built a little enclave there and bricked it in, which was real nice. They wouldn't have to have done that, but it was a very good community relationship thing. But that's the most significant one. The next one, which would be the next easiest one for you to locate and to designate, I would suggest with a lesser marker, making that one the main, the cream of the crop. But the next one would be at the intersection of Cummings and River Road. That is the one marker there would be the corner post of Thomas Dove Kaiser's claim and John Brooks Kaiser's claim, the father and son. Thomas Dove did not make his claim till about 4 or 5 years after the first one, after his son made it. But Cummings Lane was, as you maybe know, was the first road cut through from the river to the territorial road that we call River Road. And it was cut through on the border of the two claims. The father and son went together to cut that road. It wasn't a road, it was a trail, really. Yeah. And the purpose of it was so they could drive their cattle across the territorial road, which became River Road. And now they call that Cummings Lane, named after a great pioneer family, the Cummings. But the exact point would be probably on the church property. That's the Lutheran church, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, as far as I know, no one has ever made contact with the church authorities. Whether they would oppose this or whether they think it's a good idea, there's a bus bench there. I'm suggesting that you do something of a lesser size or something, lesser than the one at Sherry's. It could be a post. And on one side would be the information on the claim for Thomas Dove Kaiser, and on the other side for John Brooks Kaiser. So that would be reasonably, if the church would, on the other side is a service station. That's a business and maybe a little harder to deal with.
Right.
But if you could establish that, then the other interesting thing, where their land claim went from River Road to the river. Almost all of the Kaiser claims went from River Road to the river. But where are the markers on the other side? On John Brooks Kaiser's, Chamawa is the line, Chamawa Road. Mm-hmm. Where is the marker? Where does it end back there? And it would require a survey, which you don't have any money to put out for a survey. But that post should be in the new Rapids Park, Kaiser Rapids Park. Mm-hmm. That's where, and so there should be land that the city already owns. Now, there's a guy whose name I cannot remember, who is the surveyor for the county. We have it in the records, sir, someplace.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
What was his name?
David Loud. He's on the Parks Board, isn't he? Yeah.
Oh, Loud.
Yeah. He's been on the Parks Board in various times, and he's a great historian. And if you put the bite on him, does he know where that post marker is back there? If he does, your work is
done.
Then deciding what kind of a marker you want.
Want to put there, right.
And you wouldn't have to put out any money to locate it or anything. If it's in the park, which I'm certain it is, that could be a point of interest for some park attenders that go. I got to stop, incidentally. That monument to the floods is just remarkable. Mm-hmm. Whoever designed that, installed it, and did all the work on that, which is you people there, that is a very significant marker. And I hadn't been down there for a while. I went down there. That's really, And the
I like
people,
the pole. It's showing the elevations.
Yes, yes.
That's, yeah, my favorite part.
Our original thought was to put that in Sunset Park. Isn't it so much better down there? Mm-hmm. So many more people will see it. Mm-hmm. And it's so well designed and so well done. So you could come up with some kind of a marker. Quite common, you see around in counties, just a post with a, usually it's a 6-inch post mm-hmm. set in concrete with the indicators on both sides. It could be more elaborate, just however you wanted to go. So that one would be easy, or may not be, if Dave helps you out. I think he could accept.
What would the marking be for that one that would be in the park?
It'd be the corner post. It'd be the opposite of the one at Sherry's.
For John Brooks, yeah. Kaiser.
So here's Sherry's. That's the first one, and that's the marker of John.
Right.
Chamawa Road is the borderline. If we can get this one established back in the park, I think that would be significant.
Right. Okay. Yes.
I believe it is there.
Well, you think it's
and identified. And the person I'm going to speak about today identified it for me.
Oh, that
I know.
Is good.
But we'll confirm with Dave Loudon. But Paul Freakbert.
Okay.
Who's in the park daily.
Is there a brass marker or something?
There's about a 5-foot marker right at the river's edge before you drop off.
Is that right?
Yes.
So now your job.
It's on the trail.
It's on the trail.
Oh, that's great. Now your job would be to go out and inspect it. If it's already satisfactory, you would go on to your next project. If you want to embellish it some way, then you could. But from what you...
But I'll confirm that.
Okay, and that is...
But we were talking about it last week, so
news.
I'm almost certain this is the
great
same
timing.
One. Yeah.
That's exactly the networking. That's exactly how you get those things done. Well, I don't know how you would establish the McNary donation land claims short of surveys, which you probably won't be able to get involved in that. Because that can get kind of spendy in a hurry. But anything that you can fall in line with, that is super. Let's see, what else can I... So you might want to look at the talk to the church. And again, if you're going to talk to Dave, say, is that... probably the precise spot will be in the center of River Road. Well, the city would frown on that, so you'd get as close as you can. Whatever you do, you try to have it as historically accurate as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't stop recognizing something even if it's not perfect. You get it as close as you honestly can.
Mm-hmm.
And call it a good day, a good job. That's, well, no, you're going on down, you might be able to establish other, but they go across River Road as you go further down, not very far across.
Oh, okay.
But, and now that I'm thinking about it, there's two other activities I hope somebody grabs sooner or later. One is the location of the origin of Willamette University was here in Kaiser.
On Cherry?
On Cherry, just off Cherry. But where exactly? It was a 3-story wooden building that burned. And that was to have been, it was called the Oregon Institute. And that was the beginning of Willamette University. Well, that's deserving of a plaque or something. I have a diary, a handwritten diary, excuse me, of a minister and his wife that was coming from out from back east, and they walked across the Isthmus of Panama, caught another ship coming north down the Columbia, and they were to be instructors or teachers at the Oregon Institute, it was called. And the darn thing burned while they were in the process of coming out. I do not know what has happened to them. Doan is the last name, and John Doan is a famous musician who locally here. But at any rate, I'm rambling too much.
To interrupt you real quick, and I apologize. It was originally known as Oregon what?
Oregon Institute.
Thank you.
Yeah. Then the other thing, and then I will stop, because you've got other things you want
to
do.
No, I was just needing to write it down, because it went in this way and out that in, and I didn't
Well, he was speaking pretty quickly.
Into my
On
writing.
The ramp, coming in off I-5, coming into Kaiser, about halfway up, there's a crack in the asphalt. That crack happens to be almost precisely on the 123rd longitude. Now, it's almost, think in terms of the water tower out there. It's just due east of the water tower. Think of it. We've made quite a bit out of the 45th parallel, haven't we? So in one spot there, in Kaiser, we have the 123rd and the 45th coming together. There's only a few places in the world that that occurs. And there are people that come. If you go on Google, you can see there's a, I don't know if they call themselves a society or a club, but it's international. And you'll see cars pulling off there, and they're taking pictures and everything.
I've often wondered why. Thank you.
123rd longitude. And that's precisely where it crosses there. And there's no marker. You'd have to deal with ODOT a little bit on that. Because you can't have cars stopping there. You can't have a typical sign because you can't develop a hazard. So there's got to be some way to get off the highway. It seems to me like that there's room. I talked to the person who was second or third in command of ODOT, who was on the Kaiser City Council for a while, ran for mayor at one time, and he didn't have any interest in it, frankly.
Gotcha.
But maybe someone at ODOT would catch on. They'd have to widen. I think they got the right-of-way to get maybe 4 to 5 cars off the main road there safely, with a nice sign designating this as one of the few places in the world where that occurs. And Madam Chairperson, I'm going to stop talking now.
No, we always appreciate you, and I do as well, and I want to thank you for donating in the picture, because that was a great experience.
I would like to sit and listen to you folks for a while, but we may then leave before you get
this
done.
Is Miss Diane for everyone.
Yes, okay. Diane Monroe, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you, young man. What year? Give me a year for the Cummings, the actual first from the actual river to what is now River Road.
All right.
Give me a year.
I could give you maybe a decade. It would probably be, let's see, I'm trying to think when he passed away. Their donation land claim was in 1850, I believe. I can't remember my own wording down on the sign down there.
Is it 15 or 50?
1850 to 1860. Wow. Somewhere in that decade would be when that road was cut through.
Okay.
And it was just a trail, really, and was widened. A little side story, the person that finally did the survey work on that road was McNary. He did the legal work on it, and he didn't do it quite right. He had to come back and redo it. But, our own
Charles?
McNary. Our own McNary.
Charles McNary.
Was,
Charles?
Yeah. Charles
wow.
himself.
That's awesome.
Thank
Small
you
world.
For your attention. I
no, thank
it.
You. We really appreciate you immensely.
Thank you, sir.
All righty.
Thank you.
Oral history update, Miss Carla.
Well, I'm going to start with the person who I did start with, which is Paul Freakbird, and I'm going to pass down my oral writing, and I'll provide you with a copy.
Wow.
And
thank you so much. If you'd like, I can read along with it.
Impressive.
So, Paul Freekberg. I met Paul when I first moved here in the park, Kaiser Rapids, which I attend to every day as much as possible. And so does Paul. And we kind of gravitated toward one another and found that when I took on this project, this would be the perfect person to start with. And so I advised Paul that I had taken on this task and that he was going to be my first oral interview.
Whoa.
And so Paul has a very rich history in Kaiser, and I'm learning a lot from Paul, actually, every day. He's got a lot of stories, primarily about the park and its origination, where it was nothing there, no trails, no nothing but dirt roads, and how he had frequented it all these years.
This is awesome.
Thank you. And so I guess I want to start with Paul is a war veteran, fought in the, or was in the Korean War and is a Korean War veteran. In addition, he is a vice president for the Korean War Veterans Association here at Salem. Paul did four inactive years. He spent, I think, 3 to 5 years firefighting where he lost his smell in doing so. He became the controller of Kaiser Aerospace Division and was the finance director for City of Kaiser at its beginning of its founding.
Excuse me.
He married beautiful woman Jean Lankins, who passed away several years ago. And he's found himself trying to pick up the pieces. And he's doing so very gracefully, I may say. Paul volunteers. He does a lot of volunteer work, primarily for the veterans here in Marion County and Portland area. So he'll go down to Portland or have his daughter take him. He doesn't drive that far anymore. But his daughter will take him on certain events. He'll go to Independence or wherever there's an event for veterans to either promote publishings, give out handouts, whatever he can do to partake in keeping veterans alive, their spirit and their efforts. He's also a current member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars and the American Legion. Paul does quite a bit of volunteer work. He's quite busy, so when I talk to him, oh, I'm doing flyers this week, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, and so he's always giving and wanting to offer me Korean War memorabilia, be it hats, pins, patches, magazines, you name it, whatever it is. And so he's Paul starts his day at Kaiser Rapids every day, weather permitting, being like 4 or 5 o'clock, he's up every day. And his extending his kind heart to everyone he encounters, making sure that the pathways are free of debris, and as he remembers, there's no pathways. There was no pathways 20 years plus earlier at Kaiser Rapids, and I'm just kind of reading what I put together based on our conversations and appreciating the current and evolving state of Kaiser Rapids. We kind of, when we're walking, we just kind of look at it and we're in amazement. And recently they took down the hazelnut trees. Mm-hmm. And so it's a shock for him, but he's adjusting, waiting to see it kind of come together. But yes, he's a pleasant soul. And Paul has a special gift, I would say. He goes well out of his way to accommodate every dog that frequents that park. He's most recently been in a wheel cart. He walks with a cart. He had a fall in the park, which caused him an injury on the trail near the marker where you are inquiring
well,
about.
That's what I was wondering. Is there any way you could go with him on the next
Of course, and take a picture. Absolutely. I will do that tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, but on the weekend.
And bring that information back.
Yes, ma'am.
That would be really
good. Of course,
that
was the plan.
Thank you. Thank you. You're awesome.
And with that fall, he had several surgeries, lost some memory, but he's recovering. And that's been a year now that he's... and so he's still in the walker. Doctors tell him he can not use it, but he made special use of this walker. He puts dog treats in it where he used to carry them on his person.
That's awesome.
And so now if the owners allow, he'll offer out a treat and he'll stop. Even if they're running, he'll stop them. I got a treat for your dog. And I think that's just the kindest type of
awesome.
Spirit that we need more of, not just here in Kaiser, around the world. We need that. And I just love it. He just soothes my soul, and I just love this individual. And so people are places like Bi-Mart, they know him because he goes in there and he buys up these milk bones just for dogs, and he doesn't even have any. Yeah, I think it's remarkable what he does. He's a gentle soul. His brother is also World War II. They were both in Korean War.
Oh, wow.
I got to meet his brother. He comes and checks in on him. He's out in Lincoln City, and so periodically they'll come together and unite or go for dinner or lunch or something like that, and find that he's just the most incredible person I've met thus far here. And with that... most recently, I had an opportunity to have a, Marlene had her 60th,
right.
Our city council, and so the mayor had showed up, and we're neighbors, and I got to attend. I was invited, and that was wonderful, and the mayor was there, and I was telling her about Paul and the actions that I'm taking here. And she said, you know, you should put him up for, you should nominate him for volunteer of the quarter. And so I told Paul. I said, Paul, they want to nominate you for volunteer of the quarter. Oh, and he's so modest and humble and just won't hear of it. He just doesn't want to partake in being acknowledged that way. I think
right.
He's so humble that... he just feels like he's just an everyday person,
right.
But he's a really special, special person. So I'm going to take this right up and pass it forward. And so in doing so, he's not really good. He didn't want to do a, I told him what our plan was to come in and enter, give him, do a video. He's not big on that. He's very shy.
Mayor. I saw that he didn't want to have anybody come to his house.
Correct.
That's something we started doing not too long ago to add some interest. But before that, we had them do it here.
I told him that, too.
And maybe convincing him to just share some of his stories that you say are so interesting. Just tell him to sit down and talk to you instead of standing at the park.
Well, I'm working very diligently. He is a very... I don't want to put him off. And so... just kind of let them speak at their leisure,
right.
And what they're
story
willing
time.
To do, and then take that information without making them feel uncomfortable.
Well, and I'm wondering also, right, carrying on what you were talking about, Debbie, if we took it a different approach.
So I invited him to come
story
in.
Story time.
Sure.
And
I,
not so much interview or...
Maybe give it a different name
exactly.
or something, but
exactly.
I think if I could get him nominated, he would show up, but for something where,
yeah.
you know.
Jerry, do you know Paul?
I do. I know him very well and for many years. Something you might ask him about, if he hasn't already mentioned it, he had, I don't know whether he authored the book or not, on Korea. A beautiful book, a pictorial book, and he offered that free to any widows, I think it was just widows, of Korean veterans.
Okay.
And Diane went to his house, and he had all these stacks of books, and he gave them all away.
He does. He gives away a lot of stuff. He mentioned the book. I will follow up with him. He didn't even put it in his bio, which he gave me. He wrote up this bio.
I love the bio. This is interesting.
It is.
And the young man in the picture there?
That's Paul. Oh, okay.
Robert Young?
Well, and I want to continue on off of Carla and your work, and thank you. This is amazing.
If I may.
Really appreciate the information.
One
yes,
more
Debbie.
Thing. The volunteer of the quarter, there is a place on our website that you can fill in that nomination, and you can put this stuff, or you can attach this, however you want to do
so
it.
So this was just last week that I got that information. So
oh,
and
good.
Then
so
I did start working first of this year, and so my time has been a little limited, but
good to hear.
I did get Paul over time. It took time to pull this information.
Work on him, Jerry.
Yeah. But I will speak to him on the book for sure over the weekend because we make a point to meet. He's my best bud.
So
I will. Thank you so much. But yes, and so I find him to be a point of interest himself, as well as yourself. I think this is awesome to find this kind of history and information, and just such wonderful people
right.
here. It's beautiful.
Very
so thank
wonderful.
You for yes. letting me.
So can yes.
I actually, when I was employed here, he's one of the first people I met in 1991, I believe, and he was our controller.
Yes.
And one thing he didn't mention, that he's got a really sly sense of humor.
Paul is a wonderful person. I think that's why we get along, because he is such
And I did not know that Gene had passed. I didn't know that.
About 3 years
ago. But I'd
ago.
Run across him here and there, and we'd always sit and chat, and he had some great stories, and I really appreciated him a lot, so... Yeah. Tell him I said hi next time.
I will. I mentioned to him that you were on this board, and so
he doesn't remember me.
He doesn't remember a lot of names since his accident, but if you just call his name, he'll look up. He'll know your face for sure. But he's
awesome.
a beautiful person.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, continuing on with oral history.
Yes.
On February 19th, I had the great opportunity to attend a Kaiser Heritage Museum. Board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to that, I'm combining the informational signage at Schoolhouse Square. The reason they contacted me is because the museum is also interested in this opportunity. And between the two committees, or the board and the committee, getting something acknowledged about the fact that the old school used to sit down at Chemawa River Road.
Right, right.
So I got to go to that meeting, and so that was a lot of fun. So with that being said, I also wanted to let you guys know that this is so flippin' cool. Pardon my French. But they are linking our oral history to their websites. But what they also need from us is they need to have them like on a YouTube video, because they're not able to do it unless it's formatted like that or something. I'm not IT smart, so I'm not sure. But they've asked us if there's any way that we can start putting all of our videos accessible via YouTube, because they can set up links through their website also, and we're getting double duty. So not only is it going to be on the city's website, it will also be on the museum's website over at the Kaiser Heritage Museum.
And I'll send you all a copy of this information once I scan in his portfolio here, or his bio. I'll send that to you tonight or tomorrow, Deborah?
Sure.
Okay.
And so they are also
Debbie.
Wanting to... Yeah, Debbie. So they're also wanting to do the Schoolhouse Square thing too, so I thought that was kind of cool. They're also talking about, because they're holding the Art Association and now the theater and now the museum and the library, about possibly calling that the Kaiser Cultural Center.
Yeah.
So that's just something I wanted to pass
here at
along.
The Heritage.
At the Heritage Center?
Right here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Turning it into a cultural center. Why since not? It houses almost the majority of our arts, not per se just the Art Association, but
right.
theater and all that good stuff, mm-hmm. too. So that was very exciting. And I'm going to jump ahead, Debbie, and I apologize, over to the informational signage. So I did, and I have emailed the property management company twice. The person in charge of it now, his name is David, and I haven't heard back. Mm-hmm. So I do understand they're busy. There's a lot going on over there right now with the management and the growth of the property. And so I'm just assuming that with time, I'm hoping to hear back something. I will start phone calling soon. Mm-hmm. It will be 30 days, I want to say this week, since I first emailed them. So I was thinking of phone calling as a follow-up instead of emailing, because sometimes emails just kind of get pushed aside. So I will be giving them a phone call. So, and the reason I'm contacting them is to find out if they're okayed with the possibility of doing a kiosk, per se,
on the side of the building,
and or if not, what property the city owns there, if they're not interested, so we can possibly do that for a future opportunity. Okay, jumping back up to geocaching, Ms. Rhonda.
Yes. The geocache, finding out, I spoke with Chris, because I can't, I myself can't take it off. And I spoke with Chris, she went on, and I forget the name. She left messages with who's in charge of it. It was
the guy who started it, was it?
It was.
Michael?
Michael, yes.
Okay.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and she emailed him last week and the week before.
Okay.
And she hadn't heard anything. She went ahead and emailed him again yesterday. And she still hasn't heard anything.
I also have his phone number along with Daisy's, and I'll send him a text message and see if that's an opportunity to have him get a hold of you.
Okay, and there, she said there was one part of it which was taken, or one site had been removed. I don't have that written down, but a part of it, one of the sites.
Gotcha. Gotcha, thank you. I have to write notes, I forget, I'm old. Calvary Remount Station. So I did a bunch of research, and that was just horrible. But my experiences ended me up down at State Archives, where I've been talking with one of the people down there in regards to getting some information. I gave her this is what we're trying to do. I gave her a little bit of information about what we're trying to accomplish in here. And although she is very busy, I'm hoping to hear back soon in regards to that. And I apologize, I did not bring her name with me. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But very helpful. Very excited about the opportunity. It's history, so of course. And there's a great, great display down there right now, too. 1840 to 1870, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was a beautiful display. If anybody gets a chance to go down there, check it out. Ashley's not here about the rocks. Jill's not here regarding informational signage, but we got a report from Mr. Jerry, mm-hmm. aka Mr. Kaiser. We talked about me. Neighborhood historian Rhonda, we're back to you again. Origination of street names.
Finding out about that, we went down to city. We came down to the library, the historical, I forget the name.
The archive, or the?
Archive, historical mm-hmm. archives.
The books back there, yeah.
They have been moved, and they did not know where they were, what I was looking for, the files. And she did not know where they were moved to. Looking online, City of Salem and City of Kaiser, there's things, but there's nothing specific. It's all really general.
Would you be interested in possibly having coffee with Mr. McGee sometime?
Well, yes.
Because I think that would be a great resource for you.
Yes, definitely.
His brain is full of Google.
It's Kaiser as large as Google.
Yeah, Kaiser history, Google. Yeah. Yes. And that might be a little bit... If that's okay with you that I just said that, Jerry, now that it's too late.
I've got an interest in the naming of streets. And
there we go.
I don't have as much information as you might think.
Mm.
I read an article, I can't remember where all the streets were named after the contractor's daughters and wives. That's over in your area.
I heard that.
Yeah. I just read that recently. And so that's, I don't have a great deal of information. Now, where Diane lives, Latona, obviously a Native American name, I would think, obviously. But what's the background on that? What does that mean?
Right.
We've thought about that, and we haven't got the answer to that one even. So I may be a disappointment to you, but I would be interested in talking about that.
That would be awesome,
Madam Chair.
I would appreciate that.
Yes.
I don't know. This might be helpful. A while back, a couple years ago, I went on an underground tour of Salem.
Right. Isn't that fun?
The man who led it knew what every street in Salem, who every street in Salem was named after. My son just started rattling off names, and he had them all. I don't know how far his knowledge extends, but I don't know his name. You'd have to maybe Google the Salem Underground Tour and find out his name. His daughter might be the one that's running it now, but she may be able to connect you with him, and you might be able to, you know, ask him what he knows about this, if he knows this far north, or he might know somebody else who does too.
Okay.
Here's another lead. Our own planning department here. Any new street has to be, and the name has to be approved. It has to be something that's easy so the fire department can find it. It can't be a duplicated name. I mean, you can't have too many Cascade streets. It's confusing to the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
So our own planning department, that's where I was going to start at one time, was with them, because they should have... at least all the names of the streets since Kaiser was incorporated. Now, you want to get back beyond before that, of course, I know. Right.
Would that be Dina and Nate, Debbie?
Yeah, there's a new girl, Megan, who
Megan? Okay.
She would be your first contact, and she's very helpful.
Okay.
Yay.
I would like to add on the street names is I work for a contractor, and the newer contractors have and are naming the streets after their children.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right.
Yay, thank you for that.
Let me digress and tell you a little story. Years ago, I was on a construction job at Burton Culver Center in a new highway, and there was a geodetic survey crew there naming all these, this up in Mount St. Helens area. And they named them after their states and after their Chicago Creek. You can look at the map, there's Detroit Creek. And when finally we were at lunch on a little stream, and we were fresh out of names. And so they came up with a name, No Name Creek.
No Name. That's awesome. That's awesome. As always, thank you again for allowing me to offer you as a resource. You're one in a million.
Thank you.
Yeah. Miss Jill is not here for Facebook. Any other business this evening? Hello, sir. Is there anything we can help you with? Are you just listening?
Oh,
hello.
Yes,
we appreciate you working here. Thank you. All right, council report, sir.
I have a very short one. We had a very pithy meeting, but I want to update you on some of the things that I'm excited about. Our
council approved or waived the fees on a project that I've been working on myself as part of a group. In my mentoring at Kennedy Elementary, I'm in my 32nd year of mentoring. You probably don't know that, but some of the guys I started mentoring years ago have graduated. This year, two in particular young men, a young lady and a young man, actually, who didn't even speak English, are graduating. One of them with honors, and I have four other seniors that are graduating that are mentors for me at Kennedy Elementary. They come and mentor fourth and fifth graders.
That's awesome.
The young people today amaze me, all of them. But what we're doing this year is having our first annual Latino appreciation celebration. What we're doing is honoring and recognizing these young people who have overcome many obstacles, not to mention the language barrier, and a lot of anxiety with families right now. And so we're gonna, the council was generous enough to waive the fees for us to have an activity. I have a gentleman from the governor's office come and do a poem, Alberto Moreno, who's a very good poet. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna have some, the mayor's gonna welcome them. Everybody's invited. But what we're gonna do is just give them a little scholarship, something very small, by the way, but we're gonna give everybody who applies for it. And I've been reading some of the applications and they're amazing. I'm gonna share them with my council later. Some of the obstacles in their educational journey have been just amazing to think of. And I realize all kids have that, but we thought this year we would recognize them because of the fact that a lot of these kids have helped me along with a lot of projects and my outreach with the Latino community. And so we're going to have a celebration for them. The mayor's going to welcome them, some speakers, and then probably about 30 kids will be getting. We started off with 20, but as we're fundraising, it looks like we'd be able to help more kids.
That's awesome.
And what this is not only, it's not particularly for college. It could be for college. It could also be for buying a suit for an interview.
Right.
Helping out their family, a car payment, something that we feel that is not so much the money, but the recognition.
Right.
And so we're really proud of that accomplishment. I'm really excited about that. And that's going to be on May 10th.
Thank you.
Right here in City Hall.
What time?
It's going to be from 6 to, I'm getting the times mixed up because I'm trying to work with the gentleman on how we have to get here, but it'll be at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the last section, I can't remember the name of it. Iris, yeah. And also with our leadership group in Kennedy Elementary, which is our third year, we started a leadership group of fourth and fifth graders. And they've toured here, they've met the police chief, and they've met the mayor. It's kind of cool because we're teaching about community service, civic involvement. And like I was telling my granddaughter today, when I was in fifth grade, I knew the police chief, but I know him for a different reason back then.
Right.
But it's really wonderful to watch these kids experience the civic and opening doors to these kids that I've never seen. And by the way, they're not all Hispanic. I mean, Kennedy's like 90%. But we pick kids that we think have leadership qualities. There's two types of kids that we have, I like to say. The kids that are leaders and the kids that need to be around leaders.
Right.
So, and fourth and fifth grade, you know, they're a little squirmy still, but it's been a wonderful, we're going to go to Willamette University. We've actually gone to, played bunco with senior citizens.
We've done
two community projects, and once a year we have a big cleanup at a certain park. And then we have
wonderful.
Not only our school, but we go and pick up garbage and do stuff at other elementary schools. Because we believe in passing that on, and the kids have learned a lot of good stuff.
Wonderful.
And I'm kind of stretching it out further because I'm really proud of our work with the, and the support the council has given us has been tremendous. Mm-hmm. I've always thought to myself that they had potential to help all of our citizens and make them feel like they're part of the community and move forward that way. So, also we. The other thing that happened with City Hall is we had a horrible incident here in town.
Right.
Where we had the tragedy of the, and all people involved, of course, we all know who the, when a community has a tragedy or something like that, we come together and our police department is wonderful. I mean, I've always believed in good leadership and our leader, our police chief is amazing. His focus is on public safety as opposed to punishment and the old school way of doing things. And the whole mentality of public safety has changed. You know, and he has the right attitude about people that need help. We gotta educate them and help them instead of trying to, because all you do is create people mad at the police and end up more, you know. I learned that from being a field director at 16 years at Kaiser Little League. When I'd see guys doing stuff, I'd kind of, hey, help them along. Can you come and help me? I'll give a candy bar and all.
Right.
And the last guy used to yell at him, and the next day all the garbages were upside down or something crazy like that. But that's the way kids are. They respond to how you treat them and how you treat them. And somebody asked me the other day, what do I tell kids nowadays? And I love the same because I stole it from Marilyn Manson, of all people. And they say, what do you tell kids today? And I say, I don't tell them anything. I listen to them. And that's very important because kids that I've listened to over and over years, they've come around and now they're helping me help other kids. It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, children give respect when they receive respect.
And it all started with the council that supported our outreach that we've been doing. And it's been needed for quite a while. And I'm very proud of our work. So.
Yeah, the young children get pretty googly-eyed. I was at a meeting today and my granddaughter's spring break started today. And so my granddaughter was with me at a meeting, and I introduced her to Dave Wallery of Wallery's Pizza.
Ooh.
And you would have thought she just met Beyonce or something. Her eyes got big, her mouth dropped to the floor. She's just in awe. And so I agree with you. Our volunteers are putting a big, a big deal to our young people.
Our kids that come to the liaison kids, we've had some really wonderful kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help them, and it helps us understand kids and listen to them and stuff like that and things that are going on. One of the things we brought to the council, Laura and I, we're involved with high school so much that we actually mentioned the games, the choir. Bruce does a lot of that. And that's something that I've always thought. I used to listen to city council meetings, and I go, God, we just won the district. How come we said nothing? And I thought, that's a liaison. That's something that people watch. And I think it's a good vehicle to be proud of ourselves, our accomplishments, what we've done. Whether it's a young wrestler or a volleyball player, or we brought in a coach from Whitaker that once was recognized that nobody would have known, but we want to make sure that people, we highlight those positive things.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with, you were referencing a tragedy or something.
I'm sorry? We had an incident here in town. I don't want to talk too much about it, but I will say this, that the police department handled it very well, and the people involved were all, I coached a young man, and it's heartbreaking, but when an incident happens, you learn and you grow.
Yeah.
And it's not always a good incident, but it's something that you bring people together.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. I come from a family with cancer. My mom died when I was 8.
Right.
All my aunts, my sister, my little sister, all of them with cancer. And that's helped me learn a lot about, not only about cancer, but about life and listening and cooperating.
And so it's good to be out there.
I was a good guy. I was pretty radical.
It's good.
Anyway, I'm so proud of our council, though. I just want to mention that to you guys.
So if everybody gets a chance, make sure you let them all know that. Thank you, Kaiser City Council. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good?
Also got a nice letter from a gentleman. He didn't address it to the council. He sent it to me for some reason because I'm the park guy over here. And he said that he was glad that somebody finally stepped up as an entity to finance our police in our parks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a road that and Debbie can tell you, we've been kicking that can for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this council had the courage to take that step. We took a little heat, but in the long run, it's been pretty good. You can see the changes now. And change starts with us. We are the change.
I also want to make a note that anybody that gets the opportunity to thank a wonderful person named Debbie Lockhart. She diligently gives of her time constantly.
Thank you, Debbie.
And she needs to be told how appreciated she is because she's amazing. So thank you for everything you do.
The latest person on the voluntary coordinating committee, she was nervous about it, a young lady, a co-worker of mine. And the first thing she said, he goes, boy, these people are, she complimented Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
She said, everybody is so nice and so welcoming. And there's nothing better than to hear that.
Because
she was a little shy. And she came away and texted me, Roland, these guys are great. I love it.
Yay.
So it made me feel really good for our city and for Debbie and the people that welcomed her.
Yay. Anything else tonight, folks?
I would just like to offer my apologies for missing the last meeting that was held. I didn't get the message till it was over.
Okay. Life happens.
I tried to send out an email a week before the meeting along with the packet, and then the morning.
Mm-hmm. Gone. I appreciate that.
But I would notify you for sure.
That's really helpful.
And I didn't get that opportunity. And so I felt bad.
As long as I remember to bring my phone in, I can text you.
Thank you.
I know that some of the
young people, their emails are as in front of them.
So true. It's true.
Thank God for Debbie. Sometimes exactly. All the things, it's going to be a call. I know it's going to be a stupid question.
No, she's a lifesaver.
You can do something to celebrate you.
Yes.
Oh, no. I get to work here.
She is a definite lifesaver, that's for sure. Jerry, thank you again for your time. Meeting's adjourned.